Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to read again from John chapter 10. We'll read the first 30 verses. John chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is a demon possessed. He is demon possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
One of the ways that Jesus speaks of his sheep is to call them, or of his believers, is to call them his sheep. And if that's your identity this morning, a believer in Jesus with no hope but him for salvation, then my aim today is to show you just how blessed you are to be one of Christ's sheep. And how that identity affects your life, both now and your future hereafter. Last week we saw that the one thing that's true of sheep among all others is how absolutely dependent they are upon the shepherd for all things. And according to Jesus, therefore, nothing is more pitiful than harassed and helpless sheep without a shepherd. And that's what we were, according to Isaiah 53, for we all, like sheep, had gone astray, and we had turned each one to our own way. And so having ditched the Savior, ditched Jesus as our shepherd, we went out on our own and we were exposed to all kinds of damning dangers. There was sin. There was Satan's rule, and we had no power over it. There was the alluring world, and we found ourselves drawn into it. There was painful trials of life, and no shepherd to care for us in our troubles. And worst of all, there was the torments of God's eternal wrath for all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all this because we didn't want the shepherd and we chose to declare our independence of him, harassed and helpless sheep without a shepherd. But rather than leave us to ourselves and damn us all, the good shepherd rather laid down his life for the sheep. For the Father laid on him the iniquities of us all. And he bore them, those sins, in his body to the tree, that we too might die to sin and live for righteousness. And then he rose again, didn't he? And in your own lifetime, this good shepherd came and sought you. And he found you. And he drew you. He overcame all of your resistance and reasons for rejecting the shepherd, not wanting him. And he sweetly drew you to repentance and faith to come to him for salvation. And so you are one of these of whom Peter says, you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And by the power of his death and resurrection, he has healed you of your chronic waywardness, wanting to have nothing to do with the shepherd, but to go your own way. And now yours is the privilege of being a sheep in Jesus' fold, belonging to him under his constant care. None more blessed than the sheep of this good shepherd. And that, brothers and sisters, is your new identity, and I want you to live more in the light of it. So we're returning to this one more time, our identity. I am a sheep in Jesus' fold. He not only is identified in the New Testament as the good shepherd, Hebrews 13:20 calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. He's as great as he is good. And he's the only shepherd that can see you safely through this life and into heaven at last. So let's count our blessings this morning as sheep of this good and great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so many of these blessings spell out security, safety, for his sheep. So I want you to notice with me just how safe and secure the sheep of Jesus are. Now, other so-called shepherds and leaders of God's people were only interested in fleecing the sheep and what they could get out of the sheep, taking from them. And so they came to steal, to kill, and destroy. But in John 10:10, the good shepherd says, "But I have come not to take from the sheep, but to give to them life, abundant life, life to the full." And how will he give life to his sheep? By laying down his life for them. So he switches places with us. Our sins deserve death. He had no sin. He deserved life. So he lays down his life instead of us, that we might have the life that he deserved instead of the death that we deserve. He got our death under God's wrath. We get his life, the whole of it, in time and forever, under God's favor, his unchanging love. And now, again, in John chapter 10 and verse 28, we're told something else about this life that he gives. The life he came to give his sheep. Verse 28, "I give them eternal life." And those words are so familiar. I fear they run over my ears without reaching my heart. And I want to drive them home to you this morning and trust God will touch your heart and mine. I give them eternal life. That's Jesus, the good shepherd. That's what he's saying about his sheep. So this life he's come to give is not only abundant and full, it's eternal life. And that speaks, first of all, of the quality of life. Remember how Jesus says it in John 17:3? When he's talking to the Father, he says, this is life eternal, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So first and foremost, eternal life speaks of a quality of life, the very highest quality of life possible to men. And that is to know and be known by this one true living God. To know Him as your God, to have this relationship with Him. Now, sometimes we boast if we know some great man, some celebrity, and we drop these names well, and we feel so good if we know somebody great. But what is this? To know God. That's right, I just spoke with Him this morning. What a privilege for the sheep that they're given this life that is knowing Him. But eternal life also speaks of the duration of this life, doesn't it? The life He gives to His sheep is without end. It is eternal. And that's what He promises in John 3:16. To everyone who believes in Him, they will, what? Not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the kind of life that He gives to His sheep. Unending life. So that they will never perish. You see that in verse 28. I give them eternal life. And as if we may miss it, he adds to that, and the result of that, having given you eternal life, means you will never perish. Sheep, drink that in. You will never perish. What security for sheep who are traveling through this barren wilderness so filled with dangers and devils that want us damned, that want to drag us to hell. To have the good shepherd say, I give to my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. And their security not only has to do with this gift that Jesus gave them in the past. If He gave you eternal life when you trusted in Him, it not only has to do with that, but it has to do with what He's doing for us in the present and will do for us all of our lives. His present activity of defending them. He says, no one can snatch them out of my hand, verse 28. In other words, He's standing guard and He's defending them. And that reminds us that He's alive. And why do we need that reminder? Because earlier in the chapter, He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, then He died. Yes, He did. He laid down His life in death. But then he tells us here in chapter 10 that He had authority to lay it down, verse 18, and authority to take it up again. In other words, this Jesus who laid down His life for us is now alive. And that secures our life. A dead shepherd would be no good to the sheep. We need a living shepherd who's aware of what's going on in my life, the temptations, the trials, someone to protect me against all these dangers. And so He lives. And He lives to protect His sheep. He lives to ensure that no one will be able to snatch them out of His hand. If He holds you in His omnipotent grip, no one can get you out. Remember, kids, when the bear and the lion came and tried to snatch away one of David's sheep, and He went after them, and they failed and paid dearly for the attempt as David killed them and recovered his sheep. Well, even so, the sheep of Jesus are precious to Him. He holds them with a love that will not let them go. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. And we can add to that. And oh, the power that keeps me in the fold, because Jesus will not let us be snatched out of His hand. The omnipotent grip of His love will keep us to the end. And He protects His sheep so well that not one will be missing. Not one will be missing of all the Father has given Him, but He will raise them up at the last day. John chapter 6. So, dear sheep of Jesus, you are safe and secure without alarm. You belong to Him. You're His. And since you're His, He takes care of His own. And that means you are not finally and ultimately your own to care for. So you can come and cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. He's your shepherd. And that's what He's all about, caring for His sheep. But Jesus piles up even greater security for His sheep. Notice as He goes on to say in verse 29, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Well, there's all kinds of security in this verse. Notice, first of all, that Jesus' sheep were given to Him by His Father. What security for the sheep to know that my belonging to Jesus was not due to my being smart enough or being lucky enough to find the Good Shepherd, but was rather determined by the Father's decision in eternity past in choosing me and giving me to His Son and saying, "Son, you go now and you lay down your life for these sheep. And you be damned in their place that they might live instead of die." They were given to Him by the Father. In chapter 17 and verse 2, Jesus says to His Father in His prayer, "You gave Your Son authority to give eternal life to all those You have given Him." God gave Jesus, this great shepherd, the authority, the right to give eternal life, not to everyone, but to those that the Father had given to Him. And who are they? They are the ones who, when called, do come to Him and trust in Him. But long before they ever believed, they were given to Jesus by His Father. What security for the sheep. And this Father who gave us to the Son is also holding us in His hand. And Jesus reminds us that there's none greater than He. So if you have the greatest holding us in our hand, how safe are we? Well, we are doubly safe in the hand of both the Father and the Son. A security offered to any sheep without a shepherd who's here this morning. If you but come to Jesus Christ and will have Him to be your Savior and to lead you and to direct you through this life to heaven, He will be your shepherd and He'll claim you as His sheep. Now, you will have eternal life and you will never perish and no one will snatch you out of His hand. That is eternal security, isn't it? For the sheep of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, these are amazing things said of us who were sheep that love to wander. And now he's saying these things of us, the sheep of Jesus. But I want us to answer this question next, or look for the answer in Jesus' word. How do you know for sure if you are one of these sheep of Jesus? Now I hear children with that question on their minds. "Pastor, yes, I know the gospel. I know it's only Jesus that can save me. I know I need to repent and trust in Him, but how can I know that I've done that? How can I know that I'm one of Jesus' sheep that He was sent to lay down His life for, that He now lives to watch over and to keep and to ensure that I get into heaven at last? How can I know for sure that I'm one of those sheep that the Father gave Him and that He died for and He now lives for?" Folks, that is not a question to leave to "I hope so." We're talking about where you will live forever and ever. Just as you have an address now and you live at that address, there are two places you will live, either in heaven or in hell, and that forever. That's a big issue. That's a big deal. And most of the world is yawning and not believing it, that there's really a heaven and a real hell where people live forever. But God wants you to be clear on that. And so He speaks very clearly on this issue. He doesn't want to leave us guessing. And nothing is more clear than verse 27. How do I know if I'm a sheep in Jesus' fold? Well, Jesus says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now that's very plain, isn't it? It's very easy to understand, verse 27 of chapter 10. You know, it's also true in the animal world of sheep, as it is in Jesus' sheep, that sheep listen to and follow their shepherd, but they will not follow a stranger or listen to his voice. And that's what Jesus is saying to them and teaching them by pointing them. So there's this flock of woolly sheep, and they're just chewing the cud. They're just eating the grass. They're grazing there, and along comes a stranger, not the real shepherd, and he can bark orders at those sheep as loud and as long as he wants, but they'll just go on chewing. They will do nothing. They won't budge. Why? Because he's not their shepherd. They don't know him or his voice, and so they will ignore him. They'll even run from him. But let their own shepherd speak. Let their own shepherd call or give the order, and they'll stop what they're doing, and they will follow him. For they know his voice, they know him, and he knows them, and he even calls them each by name with an intimate knowledge of every one of them. Kids, you've perhaps heard the old nursery rhyme, Mary had a little lamb. And out of all the lambs in the world, how do you know which one is Mary's? Well, it's simple, isn't it? Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, what? The lamb was sure to go. That's how you know which lamb is Mary's. Well, which one's following her? Even so, Jesus too has many lambs with sins washed white as snow. And everywhere that Jesus goes, his lambs are sure to go. That's what Jesus is telling us. How do you know who are the sheep of Jesus? It's very simple. They listen to his voice and follow him. They follow the shepherd, Jesus Christ. Now he tells us the reason they follow the shepherd. It's because they know him and his voice. They recognize him. And I want us to see these two reasons why they follow the good shepherd. First of all, they know him. The sheep know the shepherd. Verse 14, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You see, there's this mutual knowing of each other. Knowing and being known. That's the sheep and the shepherd. This relationship. He says, I know them, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So there's a relationship of knowing each other between the Father and the Son. And there is similarly this relationship of knowing each other between the shepherd and his sheep. Christ's sheep are not those who just do some religious things. We don't know who's a real sheep of Jesus just because of who shows up at church or who does good deeds in the world, in the world's eyes, and so on. No, his sheep know him. There's this relationship, a real relationship, a mutual knowing of each other. And so it's not just that they're smart and have a lot of facts in their head about Jesus. No, they know by experience something of his wisdom, something of his faithfulness, his love, his compassion, his power, his goodness, his grace. Why? Because they've proven him. They've followed him. And they've learned how gentle and humble of heart he is. They know his character and his ways. And because they know him, they listen to his voice and follow him. And he knows them. Not only do they know him, he knows them. Not just knowing sheep generically. That Jesus is familiar with sheep and knows that they love to stray. That's true. But he knows them specifically. He even calls them
by name. And Jesus' sheep can never get over this fact that he cares enough to get to know me. He knows my frame. He remembers just how weak I am. I am dust, and he remembers that about me. And he knows my limits, different from yours. And he knows my weaknesses, and he knows my trials, and he knows my needs, and he knows my fears, and he knows my tears, and he knows my thoughts, and he knows my dependence upon him. He knows everything that there is to know about me. And that's why the true sheep of Jesus follow him. He cares about them. They know that he knows them. He's worthy of following. He's trustworthy. I can safely put my life into his hand and follow him wherever he leads me. So that's the first reason they follow the shepherd, because they know him. They have this relationship and they can trust him. But second, they know his voice. Verses 3 to 5. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Someone has said, that's important to remember. He doesn't drive them from behind, but leads them from up front. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. That's why the sheep follow him. They know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. In other words, the ears of their hearts have been tuned to the frequency of the good shepherd's voice. And that's what the new birth does for the sheep. It gives them a love for Jesus' voice. When I was a wandering sheep, I did not love the shepherd's voice. I wouldn't listen to the shepherd's voice. Oh, but now I love him and I love his voice. And let's have no misunderstanding about Jesus' voice. It's not some audible voice heard inside of us. Oh, I just heard Jesus say something to me. No. It's just this, that when I open my Bible and read, or when I hear it read or preached, it is the voice of Jesus that I hear. All of it. The red letters, the black letters, it's the word of Christ to the sheep. The voice of Jesus, and his sheep are now in tune with that voice. It now carries weight with them. Before, didn't carry weight with them. But now it does. Now when he speaks, they're all ears. They listen and they follow. So who are the sheep of Jesus? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you love the Word of God? Because it is the voice of Jesus. Is this book the most precious commodity in this world? Because it's the voice of your shepherd? And do you follow him as he leads you? Now, where does Jesus lead his sheep? Well, David tells us in that shepherd's psalm that the Lord is my shepherd and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, doesn't he? Paths of righteousness. That's where he's leading us. These are the right ways of the Lord. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them, that the ways of the Lord are right. They're righteous. The wise walk in his ways. The fools stumble in them. And so we follow on for his name's sake. And our shepherd not only leads us by his word, he also leads us by his providence, as we heard this morning in the worship hour, the singing. He leads me sometimes to feed in green pastures and to lay down and drink by still waters. Oh, precious, precious times. And as I eat and drink, my soul is restored. He knows how exhausting trials are. He knows how worn out we get just with the cares of life, the burdens of life. He knows how wearisome it is to battle against sin and temptation without rest.
And knowing this, and how sapped and sluggish we can be, he comes to us. And he says, now you're going to lay down and eat and drink by still waters, green pastures. Well, how often has the Lord restored my soul, feeding upon the precious green pastures, drinking of the living water, Christ through his word. That's it. The shepherd, you see, he's leading you to minister to you, to bring you just the word in season you needed. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that security for the sheep? I'm not going to poop out and quit short of heaven because my shepherd restores my soul. He's constantly coming, knows when to lead me beside still waters and green pastures. Other times he leads us right down into the dark valleys. But even here we need not fear. When he leads us into the valley of the shadow of death, why no fear? Because the shepherd is with us. He's with me there. He's with me through the valley. He goes down in with me. He's through the valley. And he comes up on the other side. Receives us unto life eternal. And so we don't fear. But sometimes in providence he leads us into these valleys. And then he leads me right into the presence of my enemies. With all the fiery darts of the evil one flying at me. Temptations coming at me. And right there, he sets a table before me. That I might have sustenance and resources for the battle. Where? Right in the midst of the battlefield. Right in the midst of the strife. Is that not security for the sheep? As we battle against sin and Satan and hell. Revelation 14:4 says, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. It's not that they follow the Lamb when where he leads them is where they want to go. When he leads me in paths of my choosing and in commands according to my liking, or ways that I understand and that feel good to me. No, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That's a mark of the sheep, you see. And it's the great difference the new birth makes in a sheep. The reason we were sheep without a shepherd is we didn't want the shepherd leading us, did we? We wanted to call the shots ourselves. And that's why we ditched him in the first place. But now we have a shepherd who leads us and we follow on wherever he says, wherever he leads me. Now that's good news to my heart. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Used to be, oh, horrendous thought. I don't want to be led. I want to choose from. Now, oh, blessed thought. What words with heavenly comfort fraught. That he leads me. Why is that such good news? Well, because I need to be led. Remember, I'm a sheep. So whatever I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, wherever he leads. A little over a year ago, Joseph and I were walking the streets of Victoria, Canada, quaint old town with little shops tucked in, and one narrow alley carved its way between tall brick buildings that you could almost reach out and touch in some places. They were so close to each other. And at one point, as often is the case, Joseph lingered to window shop, and I meandered on ahead, maybe 20 paces or so. And unbeknownst to me, she took out her phone and she took a picture of me. From the backside, my better side, but about 20 paces ahead. And I guess she posted it on Facebook or Twitter. I know nothing about these places, just that they exist. And she put the caption beneath it, I'd follow this man anywhere. Now some smart aleck responded back, and who is he? Who is this man? Well, of course it was me. Who else would she follow anywhere? You can confess if that was you afterwards. I'm not sure who wrote that. But I'm sure that she would want to reserve the right to put qualifications on anywhere. Because I am a poor leader at times. And I misled her at times. And sometimes I led her selfishly for what was good for me and not thinking of what was best for her. And yet if she would say, I'll follow that man anywhere, how much more, O sheep of Jesus Christ, should you be able to say of Jesus, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, I'll follow him anywhere without qualification, without exception, period. I'll follow him anywhere. And why can we say that? Because the one we're following has pierced nail prints in his feet. Because he's the one that laid down his life for us. He's already gone on the record to show how invested he is in our good. How concerned he is for our best and our welfare. That he holds back nothing. That if his very own life was needed, he has laid it down already. Now what else would he withhold from one so dear to him? I can follow him safely anywhere. And so we sing, anywhere he leads me in this world below. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Peaceful scenes, turbulent storms, mountaintops, lowest valleys, paths of righteous commandments. I'll follow him anywhere. Indeed, Jesus oft repeated invitation for anyone who would become his disciple requires this right up front for you, doesn't it? That if you would be his disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and what? Follow him. Follow him. And if it's where you don't want to go, you deny yourself. And you go where he wants you to go. You follow him. That's the essence of Christianity. What it means to be a believer, to be a disciple of Jesus, to be saved. It's a mark of every one of his sheep that they hear his voice and follow him. Aren't you glad Jesus is the one going ahead of us and leading us? I'm so short-sighted, I can't see around the next bend. I can't see over the next hill. But he sees the end from the beginning. And that's the one who's guiding and leading me. I can't see through the fog. I can't see in the dark, but darkness is as light to him. I'm easily deceived by that way that seems right to a man, that really leads to destruction and death. But my good shepherd will not deceive me. He leads me in the proper path. I know he will not leave me. I don't even know what's best for me and all who are involved with me. But he does. So how blessed am I to have Jesus, my shepherd, leading me. And it is security and safety to follow him anywhere he leads us. Not chafing under the yoke, but with growing contentment to follow on in faith, knowing he does all things well. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. Lead me by thine own hand. Choose out the path for me. Smooth may it be or rough, it still will be the best. Winding or straight, it leads right onward to thy rest. So our security, our safety is bound up with being a sheep under the care of Jesus the Good Shepherd. In his shepherd psalm, David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's further security and comfort for the sheep, you see. The rod with which he destroys his and our enemies. Oh, what a comfort. The rod with which David struck the animal that sought to steal the sheep and killed it. And our good shepherd has a rod of iron to defend his sheep from all who would snatch us away from him. But then he has a staff. And that too comforts us. Yes, children, you know that song. The shepherd has a staff. To who, to who, to who, to who? The shepherd has a staff. And on the top of the staff is a hook. A hook to recover any straying sheep that start to wander off the path. And the hook pulls them back onto the path of righteousness. It's a staff to recover his straying sheep. Because even though our prevailing disposition to roam and to go astray has been healed, He has healed our waywardness, there is still a part of every sheep. It's called in the Bible the flesh. It's called indwelling sin, sin that dwells in me. It's called another principle of sin. That there's a part of every sheep that still wants to roam. Now that's stupid. That is irrational. That is wicked. That having followed the shepherd and never found him to lead us astray, we would still have some part of us that wants to roam. A proneness to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to walk out on my shepherd. At least for a while. At least not that command. All of them but that one. Not that providence. Anything but there, Lord. And because of that, what a comfort is it to the sheep to know that the shepherd has a staff. And he loves us too much to let us stray off all the way into hell. And he's going to come after us. And he's going to bring us back onto the path of righteousness. It may be the staff of that still small voice of the Holy Spirit convicting you. Maybe you're sitting there under a sermon and maybe you're reading your Bible at home alone and maybe you're driving down the road and the Spirit pierces your conscience. And that's all it takes. And you run and you confess your sin. Oh, I've strayed. Forgive me. Wash and cleanse me in that precious blood and forgive me. The staff, you see. The shepherd. Restoring the one that strayed. Sometimes he uses the staff to bring affliction. Painful, painful trials and hardships by which he uses them to recover your straying heart and sheep and feet. So that one sheep could say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, having been afflicted, I obey your word. Oh, it was the staff, you see. Painful thing. Oh, he hit me where I hurt. He got my attention. He showed me how far I'd stray. And I came back. Does the shepherd do that sort of thing? Yes, he loves us far too much to let us stray all the way into hell. And so the sheep say, it was good. It was good. It was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. Or it might be the staff of his goodness and his kindness and his forbearance and his patience with you. He just keeps blessing you. You start straying. And rather than a lightning bolt, blessing falls on your head. And the staff pours that into your heart and melts you. That God has not dealt with you as your sins deserved. And the goodness of God is meant to lead you to repentance. That's the staff. See how good I am, sheep? Come on back. Why are you roaming? What lie have you believed? And that's why we sing, let your goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Let your goodness just be another reason to never stray. And so our shepherd uses his staff in many different ways to recover us. And we can't help but see that the hand that holds the staff is nail-pierced. And that guarantees that he will only use that staff in a loving way with us. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And so the sheep know that he's gentle and loving. And so when they stray, the staff is felt, they know that they can come back to the shepherd. They know he's gentle and humble in heart. They know that he welcomes wandering sheep back. He's not waiting for them with a berating rod. No, that's for his enemies. He's waiting to embrace them. Now I remind you what we see in the Gospels in Jesus' story. When there are 90 and 9 safely in the shelter of the fold, he leaves them to go get that one wandering one. And what does he do when he finds it? picks it up and carries it close to his heart. And he comes back home rejoicing at a sheep, a wandering sheep that has been recovered. What a shepherd. And so we come and we're safe to confess to him. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's all about a sheep's love for the shepherd's voice. And so in verse 10, he says, I seek you with my whole heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Now that's a man who knows about a straying heart. He feels it. And so he says, oh, don't let me stray from your commands. Verse 10. Fast forward to the end. Verse 176. And this sheep has reason to say to his shepherd, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I've not forgotten your commands. The good shepherd died for sheep that love to wander, and he rose and ever lives for sheep that sometimes still do wander, and he lives to recover them. What a security for the sheep in Jesus' fold. Are you straying this morning? Is that you here? Straying from the good shepherd. Maybe it's just the beginning of a stray. You still come to church, but those quiet times, just you and the shepherd, oh, they're so rare anymore. When you talk to him, and he pours out his heart to you, and you listen to his voice. If you're honest, you have to say that your heart for his voice is not what it once was. Other things have caught your attention, and things of the world now are looking more enticing than the shepherd and his voice and his friendship. And so you're being pulled. And some other idol has snuck in between you and the shepherd. And it's just receiving your attention and affection. And you're beginning to stray. Well, come back to the shepherd. You'll find him so full of grace, plenteous in mercy, rejoicing to restore. If you can truly say with David at the opening of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, then you can go on to say, I shall not be in want. Not with a shepherd. Not as long as Jesus is my shepherd. It's because of who he is and what he does for you that the sheep are secure in the keeping of this shepherd. What an identity to be a sheep of Jehovah Jesus. I'm going to challenge you to live with the 23rd Psalm for a week. Rememorize it if you haven't. If you've memorized it in the past, I love to recite it in the old King James. That's how I learned it the first time. And live with that Psalm for a week. And use it to talk to your good shepherd and to praise him for all that he does for you. Glory in your good shepherd. The security of the Lord's sheep reaches its pinnacle in the closing words of the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you get the first word? It's not a name of a lady. It's a word of certainty. Surely. Certainly. Here is something that you can bet your eternity on. Surely. What more could you want in life? Goodness and mercy all your days. And then with the Lord at his house forever. And so he leads us all through the entire wilderness of this life, all the way home to heaven. He's the only shepherd that can do that. Are you one of his sheep this morning? If so, that's amazing. That is amazing. Amazing grace, amazing Savior, amazing shepherd, amazing identity to be one of his. And Jesus will not only be our shepherd to get us safely home to heaven. I want to close with a reference in Revelation 7, where we get a peek into heaven. Heaven itself, the shepherd's home. And there we see the great multitude of saints from every tribe, language, and nation. those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Forever the Lamb will be their shepherd. What a twist. The shepherd is a lamb. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Who would have thought that a lamb would be the shepherd to get us all the way safely home to heaven and then to be our shepherd forever and ever so that we will be safe and secure from all alarm? Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a shepherd. Do you know him? Is he yours? Do you know for sure that he laid down his life in your place and that you, therefore, will never perish but have everlasting life? This good shepherd could be yours forever. Come to him. That's his welcome. Come to me. Come to me. Whoever seeks me, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Children, why should you not be one of Jesus' little lambs? Why should you wake up another day as a sheep without a shepherd? Why shouldn't you spend the whole of your life, not just the tail end of it, but the whole of your life in this dangerous world with devils that want you damned? Why shouldn't you be safe in the shepherd's arms? Safe in his hand, under his rod and staff, his safety and security. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us return to him. Turn to him today, whether young or old, and let's rejoice in being a sheep in the Savior's fold. We sang to our good shepherd in number 644, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And let's sing this to our good shepherd as we conclude. Stand with me, and let's sing number 644. Mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse us, and power to free us. Amen.